Episode 1 of The Fetish Show is brought to you by Toxic Goddess, the elite alternative modeling troupe. ToxicGoddess.com. The Fetish Show includes a frank and open discussion of adult topics. So it's not for kids, and it's not for people who act like kids, and you know who you are.
The Fetish Show brings you the latest in alternative photography, modeling, art, and fetish lifestyle. Your host is renowned fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Derek Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Derek.
Welcome to The Fetish Show.
Welcome to The Fetish Show. My name is Derek Hooper. I'm here with Princess Zoe. How are you doing, Zoe?
I am doing great, Derek. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on with us right now. So what's been going on with you, Zoe?
Well, a lot of things have been going on. At first, I'd like to say I am so excited to be here. I've been looking so forward to our recording of The Fetish Show. And this is a great event. It's our first episode and many more to come. So I just want to say thank you and I'm glad to be here. Okay, that being said, what's going on with me? Wow. Well, I got some new additions to my studio dungeon here in Oklahoma City. I have a few new items maybe I should tell you about.
I imagine that you're adding to that all the time.
I am always adding to it. I have some really cool stuff.
And outfits. And
yes. Well, I have a medical fetish room. And I do have a medical bed in there, but I found down in the Dallas area a pink gynecological medical bed that I just had to have. So I bought it.
Where do you find a pink medical fetish bed?
Well, in Dallas, apparently.
Of course.
Apparently.
Big D.
It's really cool, and it's electric. Like, you just push a button, it's like, it raises up the back of the bed and has the stirrups. And it's pink, like everything else in my studio. I'm so happy about that. And I have a pediatric baby bed. So the baby bed is actually capable of holding adult weight, which is what I need. So I have that now, too. And
just in case you have adult babies that you need to put in there, right?
It's the only guy.
If you're into that.
If you are into that. So I went down to Dallas to pick up these items and get them in and bring them back to Oklahoma City. And while I was down there, a friend of mine invited me to go do some stuff in the lifestyle community and everything. But I'll tell you about that another time. What was really cool that I did while I was there is I went to this place called Leather Masters. And I bought some really cool stuff there.
What'd you get?
Well, I got a leather corset. I got a leather skirt. I got leather boots. A leather bracelet. I can't tell you what else I bought her. Then I would have to kill you. But anyway, no, it was great. And the prices are awesome. I was really surprised to get a real leather corset with the real bones in it and the lace-ups and everything for like $160.
That's cool. Most people have to order that off the internet, I imagine.
And you can order off the internet from them, too. They have a website. But they have a lot of stuff in stock, and the staff is great. They actually have a guy that helps you do the corsets and, like, lace you up so you can't breathe and you're bleeding.
That's the way those corsets are supposed to work,
that
I think.
That is how they're supposed to work.
So the place is called Leather Masters.
Yes.
And the website is
Leathermasters.com.
Leathermasters.com. Okay, we'll put that on our, if you can't spell that for some reason. We're going to put that on the fetishshow.com site along with this broadcast.
And so let's talk about the steampunk photo shoot that we did recently, that you did recently. And
I had a buddy of mine contact me. His name was Mike Kennedy. I've known this guy for probably 2 decades. And he had a show that he was going to do on steampunk. Now, for people who don't know what steampunk is, it's basically like a subgenre of the science fiction fantasy culture, which is primarily concerned with like Victorian age or Victorian era
of extraordinary
fashion.
Gentlemen,
right.
Kind of movie kind of stuff.
Also kind of crossed with kind of a Buck Rogers or Flash Gordon type, ray guns and submarines with
things
lasers
that didn't
and
exist,
yeah, I mean
back
things
in
that
the
don't
Victorian
really
Victorian age,
exactly.
As if they did. Yes,
exactly. Well, apparently it's been blowing up quite a bit lately, and I was familiar with it, but after doing a little bit of introspection and a little bit of research, I've found out that basically this thing has really taken off, and it fits exceptionally well with my fantasy fetish style work. So I ended up doing four different pictures for the steampunk art show, which was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It debuted on June the 5th and had, I think, something on the order of about 10 different artists who were displaying at the Art and Style Gallery. We both went down there for the opening. They had really great hors d'oeuvres.
Their hors d'oeuvres rocked.
Had a fantastic turnout. People dressed up, including you.
Yes, it was great.
Several of the models showed up. Actually, I think almost all of my models showed up.
All your models did show up.
Had a lot of really...
Because there was great hors d'oeuvres.
Exactly. You got to get those hors d'oeuvres.
If you want models to show
up. And I'd like to thank you because you were really primarily involved with my major model group that went out to the Oklahoma Railway Museum. And we got how many people? 5-6 different models all dressed up in steampunk outfits and were escorted around and got to take pictures by railway cars that were maybe 100 years old and an old depot station, which is very, very cool. And
well, what was unique about this particular photo shoot that you did is that the steampunk genre is not really well defined right now. So I think you are going to be instrumental in your artwork and through what you're doing and having a direction in the way steampunk may end up coming out to be, just like goth did or any other kind of, you know, subgenre. But to get the costumes together and the right models together in the right location, because you just can't go to some place where there's airplanes flying in the background or power lines or whatever, because this is supposed to be in the,
the 1800s.
Exactly, where you don't have these things yet. So it was a lot to put together to get exactly what you wanted.
It is. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And to get these interesting items, you know. And right. But I think the models did an awesome job in really coming through and showing that the style of photos in that era when you had to stand there in front of a camera for 3 minutes waiting for it to flash and everyone's kind of like still life or whatever.
Right.
They did a good job bringing that to the camera, all of them. And the Railway Museum was awesome in like blocking off people from us and letting us go in near the engines and the cars and all that.
And shoot around families and stuff, which
was
kind of interesting.
It was really cool. So you did a great job on that. And the actual art exhibit, I thought was great. They had some cool bands.
They did.
Out there. One, the Parakeet Chefs were awesomely cool, little up-and-coming new band. I got a chance to talk to them for a little ways.
Now I like them. We missed the other band that was there, and I'm looking up the name for it. The Annie Perkins Band was the opening band that was there, and we caught kind of the tail end of them.
Yes.
But the Parakeet Chefs were really good. I enjoyed them.
They were a cool little three-piece band. They have this kind of rockabillys, and they write their own originals. Like they have stand-up bass player or whatever, and it was cool.
Right.
Very, very good event. Very good venue. Very good topic and what the show was about. Very good turnout. Just all the way around, A+ on all of that. Steampunk was a success.
It is, and it's something I plan on doing from now on. I'm going to continue in that genre and see if I can't build up a body of work.
And I'm not surprised that you would do that.
Yeah.
That seems like something you would do.
It was a lot of fun, and I've had a lot of really good input from doing that project. So.
Well, and we'd like to thank our models, Prince, who came down from Tulsa, and the group of this Circus Sideshow group. Do you know the name? Oh, darn it, I have to get the name of who they are. But anyway, we had some cool models come out to do this, so we'd like to thank them.
Right, absolutely.
So. And I was one of them, too. So thank me. Okay, you're welcome. All right. Anyway, okay.
Also, today, which we're recording on June the 19th, I have a show in Allentown, Pennsylvania, during Allentown's Freak Out Festival. It's at the Art and Soul Gallery. It's called Buffet of Lowbrow. And lowbrow art is kind of a different art. genre.
Unlike the steampunk, steampunk in itself is a genre, but right. lowbrow only refers to art, whereas steampunk refers to movies and music.
Well, right.
But lowbrow is only art.
Well, from what I know, it's basically art. It's mostly graffiti, pinup style art, surf inspired stuff, just basically anything that's not, you know, fine art or high art, tends to be the sort of thing that's shown in Juxtapose magazine. It also tends to be the most interesting style of art that's out right now. I mean, basically, if it's happening and people are doing really cool things, then it's in lowbrow art right now. And I kind of fit in under the radar with that sort of stuff because my stuff is fantasy and fetish inspired.
Right, right.
And so it's kind of a way of it seems to be the category that I fit in at this time. So in any case, the Buffet of Lowbrow is going to be running for more than just today. It's going to be running for maybe a month after this in Allentown, Pennsylvania. So even though you're not there for the Freakout Festival today, where they're going to be having some live bands and some live graffiti, you can still drop by the gallery and take a look at the stuff. And I would highly suggest you do that because the group of artists are every artist that's ever displayed at this gallery all in one place, and they're excellent. So by all means, drop by and see these guys.
Well, you certainly have your work in lots of different venues around the world, and so it's very cool to see the variety that you yourself have been able to accomplish getting your work into from this place in
Allentown.
In Allentown,
right.
To this place in Hong Kong.
Right. I got a show coming up in Hong Kong in about a week and a half,
yeah.
Which is going to be a little bit different venue for me, for sure. I've been wanting to get into Asia for a long time, and now it looks like I'm going to be able to get my foot in Hong Kong, which is a great town to be in. Going to have 10 different pieces of art there, which
That's
is
amazing.
Really exciting. Yeah, it's not just one piece of art. It's 10 pieces of art. It's basically my fantasy and fetish style work, but I pulled back the reins on it a little bit. It's still erotic, but it's maybe not as explicit as it usually is. It's a little bit more maybe kind of fashion or kind of beauty inspired than my normal stuff. And actually, you have a picture in that. You have one or two pictures, I think. Actually, you have two pictures in that yourself.
Wow. Thank you. I'm so glad you sent some of mine, and I'm glad that they accepted those. I think what's interesting about this particular art show in Hong Kong is that it gets to show a different side of your talent and your creativity than we usually see. We know you as like the sort of fetish photographer, all of the beautiful nude bound women and, you know, this certain style, and there's lots of different aspects to you, and so this is good to see a different type of fetishy, sexy art photography and being displayed in one place, and in Hong Kong. Freaking cool is that?
Yeah, Hong Kong is great, and I hope that leads to some more stuff, because I've really been wanting to get to Asia, and it's really a goal of mine to have a show in Tokyo, so hopefully this is the first step towards that.
We have stuff all over the world.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Finally, I guess I should mention that recently I had in issue number 2 of Von Gutenberg magazine, had a feature article titled, What Else, Dirk Hooper, on on my work and what I'm doing right now, including this fetish show podcast. And it had a picture of you as well in it.
Well, first let's talk about the magazine in and of itself. This is an awesome fashion magazine.
It is. It's really gorgeous.
Oh, my gosh. This is a great quality, like the maximum of the fetish world.
Well, it's an oversized magazine, and it's very slick and glossy. I mean, it's kind of,
well,
I mean, it's a collector's
it's
item. It's more like something that you put on a coffee table than something that you'd put in a box or, you know, something
there
like that.
Is,
it's really
It's
impressive.
Already successful. It's just their second issue's been out.
It is. They're all over the world.
They're all over the world. And they have some great venues and great things that they're doing also, like their ball that they're doing out in
That's right. They've got a fetish ball in San Francisco, and it looks like they're going to be doing that maybe two, three times a year.
They have some great backing for this magazine. And that you have a three-page write-up in this magazine is awesome.
Yeah, it's nice.
And that they, of all the photos that they could choose from, you sent in, I believe, 30 photos, and they chose the best.
Actually, it might have actually been more than that.
Yeah, and they chose one of me.
They did.
Of my ass.
It is of your ass. It is a picture of your ass.
Why did you send a picture of just my ass?
Well, apparently they liked it just as much as I did. And
so
if
anyway,
you get
a famous ass.
If you get issue two, you'll see why they picked that picture of her ass too.
So go out and buy Van Gutenberg's issue number two magazine at Barnes and Noble or any of your local.
Or you can get it through their website
through
too
website,
if you can't
yeah.
seem to find it at yeah. Barnes and Noble. You know, it's an expensive magazine and they tend to go pretty quick.
Or you can contact us and we will.
Well, I'll definitely put it up on the.
We'll get you a copy. You can buy one through us. We'll get you a copy, sign it, and send it to you.
I'll be glad to sign it if anyone wants me to sign it for them. We'll also put up a link on the site to make sure. By all means, go check in your local bookstore and see if you can't get it from them. But if you can't, then order it from them directly. They'll get it right to you.
Well, it would be a big help from the community to actually go into Barnes & Noble. I called them, and they said, yes, it is on their list.
Right.
It's just they don't have very many in stock because they don't know that it's, you know, a lot of people have that interest, although they have, like, hunting and gardening and flowering and every other magazine there.
Hunting and gardening.
Yeah, all that. So
it's very popular.
So
please
go into Barnes & Noble because
killing plants.
Exactly.
Bring
and say,
them home.
Hey,
mounting them on your wall.
What? Hunting and gardening.
Hunting and gardening. You're hunting plants and killing them and putting them on your wall.
Isn't that illegal? Not sure.
I think that's okay. So anyway. I think vegetarians read that, hunting and gardening.
No, they don't.
Maybe not. So anyway, that's basically what's going on with us right now. And the next thing we're going to go to is the Fetish News.
And now the Fetish Show News Desk.
Our top story today is Dirty Show Chicago. The Dirty Show, the world infamous erotic art exhibition, will make its Chicago debut at the Viaduct Theater on June 25th and 26th. Fine art filth, paintings, photos, and sculptures, with a preference toward edgier styles and themes, will dominate the theater's walls. The exhibition, which started in Detroit 11 years ago, has become the largest erotic art exhibition in the world in terms of attendance and quantity and quality of art. The Dirty Show also features live in-your-face performance art from bent burlesque dances to head-scratching contemporary think pieces. Over 69 internationally renowned artists will exhibit, including Oscar-winning Swiss surrealist H.R. Giger, best-selling Taschen author Eric Kroll, horror icon Clive Barker, and new contemporary contenders such as Sean Barber, Glenn Barr, Steve Diet Goad, and Justice Howard. For complete Dirty Show information, please visit dirtyshow.org. So the Dirty Show, what do you think about it?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind when I think about this is what an awesome, well put together, thought out production, organization, and event. Something that we will go to and attend next year. And that is in our schedule and in our plans.
From what I hear from the organizers, basically this is the first kind of satellite show. All of the stuff that they've had has been in Detroit, and it's been exceptionally successful. But this is the first time that they're going to have a show outside of Detroit, and it looks like they may actually start going on tour into different cities.
Well, what's really cool in my mind about the whole thing is if they brought together the leaders of your the culture, the art, the music, the burlesque girls, the actual photography, everything all in one, rolled it into all one place. Awesome support and backing, and they do a great production, and I will be there next year. That's all I have to say about that.
Dirty Show is absolutely top rate, and these people are incredible. I've always wanted to see Giger's work up close. I've never seen that, but I have seen Clive Barker's stuff actually in Lincoln, Nebraska, during the X show at the Polyester Gallery. I went there right around, I believe it was Valentine's Day this year. They had a really great show there, and I happened to see some of Barker's stuff. Well, Clive Barker has been getting into doing kind of fantasy fetish photography. And essentially what he's doing is the same sort of thing with men that I do with women, which is kind of mythology-based, dark, erotic photography. And the stuff that I saw was really amazing. And I think that, if nothing else, going to the show, the Dirty Show in Chicago, would be a good opportunity to see maybe a side of Clive Barker that you'd never seen before.
Well, I can promise you one thing. Princess Zoe will be at the Dirty Show next year.
All right.
Can't make it this year, but I will be there next year.
Well, I have actually had work in the Dirty Show.
Yes, you have.
For the last 5 years, so I'd like to be there with you.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that, just for a second, about the pieces that you've had in the Dirty Show in the past. Which I know you were in there for 5 years. Which kind of pieces did you choose, you know?
The stuff that I've included at the Dirty Show has always been the same sort of fetish, fantasy type photography that I've been doing. Lately, I've been displaying some canvas art prints, which is a little bit different from what I've been doing in the past. But most of the stuff that I've sent to the Dirty Show has been real straightforward, kind of metallic print photography work.
Well, cool.
And they've treated me exceptionally well. So all I can say is that the people who organize it, including Jerry Vile and others, are really top-rate people.
Well,
they put on a great show.
I'll look forward to being there next year.
All right.
And seeing your photography in their show.
Next up, Courtney Love puts fetish photos on Facebook.
Yeah, go, Courtney.
She's known for her erratic, wild behavior, so it comes as no surprise that Courtney Love has posted some rather provocative photos on her Facebook page. The 45-year-old musician is seen crouching on all fours, dressed in leopard print underwear with a matching hat and stockings, as famous transsexual Amanda Lepore prepares to whip her ass. Aside from taking after Michael Jackson and grabbing her crotch, the whole singer is also posing on a swing, her makeup seemingly inspired by the heroin chic era that has become popular in the fashion industry during the mid-90s. And this is all according to the Daily Mail.
Well, I'm not surprised for two reasons. For one, it's Courtney Love, and I totally dig her. I'm a big fan. And number two, you see this so much more and more through our music culture and our video culture, our movie culture and society. You could see domination, the roles changing, a lot more of the dominatrix.
Well, every pop singer out there right now has some sort of fetish or bondage inspired video. Lady Gaga, I think, is pretty much leading the pack on that. Not that that's a new thing. I mean, Madonna obviously did that a long time ago. But you've got singers like Beyonce and others that are also, and Christina Aguilera, who are all, you know, breaking their necks to get into bondage and fetish and, you know, wear the latex stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, you know, they look great, so
there you go.
Might as well bring it. In any case, I'm going to take those pictures and put it up on the Fetish Show site if you want to see that. That's thefetishshow.com.
Well, tell me about this new newlywed bondage version.
Right. The next story is a newlywed game, but it's bondage style.
Amazing.
Italian TV is airing a terrific show inspired by the newlywed game. It's called Quiz and Wax, and it's a sadistic version of the famous American TV format. The boyfriend that doesn't guess the answer of his girl has got to suffer painful strips of depilatory wax on his naked body. The show is located in a reconstruction of a dirty garage full of torture instruments of any type.
Amazing.
The guys are undressed and chained by the anchor, Lara Basso, dressed like a bondage mistress while cracking a whip in her hand.
Well, for one, if this is the newlywed game, well, why is the boyfriend has to guess the answers?
Well, I guess torturing women on screen is maybe not what they're trying to do there.
Well, no, I mean, this is the newlywed game. It's your boyfriend that you're torturing. Well, I think it's a great concept.
I think it should be equal opportunity torture.
Exactly. Well, depilatory wax, for those of you that don't know the word depilatory, it means removal of hair. So she put hot wax on the hair. You laid on this strip of paper and then you rip it off, and the hair comes out. And
it's got to feel wonderful, really.
It feels very painful. So there you go.
Well, anyway, the show is called Quiz and Wax, and we're going to put a video of the first episode up there on the site if you want to take a look at that.
All right.
And it's Italian, so, you know, break out your dictionary, I guess.
Pronto.
And finally, just to make sure that everyone knows that we do hard science along with kink and fetish stuff, spanking brings couples together. This story is from New Scientist magazine. Spanking is stressful at first, but it could bring consenting couples closer together. That's the implication of two studies of hormonal changes associated with sadomasochistic activities, including spanking, bondage, and flogging. Brad Sagrin at Northern Illinois University and colleagues measured levels of the stress hormone cortisol in 13 men and women at an S&M party in Arizona, before, during, and after participating in activities. During S&M scenes, cortisol rose significantly in those receiving stimulation, but dropped back to normal within 40 minutes if the scene went well. There was no change in those inflicting the activities, so sorry, Doms, you don't get this effect. At an S&M event in Colorado, testosterone was measured in 45 men and women. It increased significantly in receiving women only. Donatella Marazziti of the University of Pisa, Italy, says the boost may help women cope with the aggressive nature of S&M activities, or that it could be another sign of stress. In both studies, couples who said that the party went well also reported increases in relationship closeness. It's important to note that the levels of both hormones dropped back down in couples who enjoyed the experience, Marazziti says. Quote, when sexual intercourse is consensual, it is not stressful, even if it is extreme sex.
Those crazy Italians.
I know. Well, and also crazy people from Illinois, apparently.
Well, and we're always looking for scientific ways to justify our nature.
Absolutely. So spank that ass. It's good for you, baby.
It's healthy.
And that's the fetish news.
All right.
And now, back to the fetish show.
That was the fetish show news. And next up, we have our fetish show questions and answers.
The fetish show Q&A.
All right. This is the fetish show questions and answers segment of the program here. And today we have a couple of questions that were sent to Princess Zoe. And I'm going to read those to you and let you answer them, and I may have a thing or two to say myself. The first question is from Dr. Mel. He says, from the answers to my emails, you seem very smart. I often notice that people that are into BDSM are of higher intelligence than normal, many with graduate-level education. And the question he has is, the more complex the mind, the more complex the play. So basically, I think what he's asking is, do you think people who are into BDSM are of higher intelligence?
Wow. What a great question. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I've been involved in the BDSM community for nearly 15 years now, and I can tell you that I've met a lot of people, I mean, from all stations of life, but predominantly doctors, lawyers, you know, professional sorts, judges, and so on. And I know that I've read and studied on this subject and have seen all kinds of things that tell you that, in general, that people who are into BDSM are much more intelligent.
Well, I think the observation is absolutely correct. Just from my experience alone, what I've seen is several commonalities. When I first started out to practice professionally, one of the things I did was to sought out any resource I could find on fetishes and the people that had them, because I wanted to understand why. In a non-judgmental way, I'm very interested into why people are what they are and why they think and want to do what they do.
Well, you have to know that.
Well, and sometimes you don't. And that's what's sometimes so intriguing about it all, is there's just sometimes no reason why. I like this because I just like it, and for no reason, you know. Right. Yes, my mother breastfed me. I don't, you know, whatever the Freudian, you know, there's no abnormality. It's just the way that it is.
Right.
So, absolutely, I find that my clients are of higher intelligence. Now, when I suspect that a client is of superior intelligence, I'll just flat out ask, do you know your IQ?
Right.
I have had guys answer me, yes, I do. It's 167.
Wow, that's pretty high.
That is extremely high. Yeah. It's 154. I'm like, wow. I have taken the test several times, a few times, and I've gotten scores from 119 to 127. Average intelligence is from 97 to 112, I believe. So mine's above average.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
However, whatever mine is, I know that it is below that of my median client.
Really?
Yes. And one of the other things, or several of the other things that I've noticed about my clients as well, is that creativity. I see a lot of very talented, creative mind type individuals, multi musically talented people.
You mean they play different instruments,
yes,
or something?
Yes, I have one client who plays like several different instruments and just can pick up just by looking at a musician's play, can like, you know, look like watch on TV with no sound and go, oh, okay, well, they're playing chord this, this, and that. That's amazing to me.
Right.
All kinds of creative mind side people. And several of the other things, well, I should say a few of the other things that I've noticed is that higher social class, which is absolutely means absolutely nothing. This is not a judgment, only an observation of what I'm saying. I see clients. I'm telling you about clients.
Right.
People that pay to come to see me.
Right.
Okay. They.
Which, by and large, a college student's not going to be able to afford your services.
Of course. Exactly. That just, what I'm saying is that I see this particular social class of people and the things that I have seen in this particular set of people. Higher intelligence, definitely, but some very, very high.
Right.
Musically talented, artistically talented, engineers, guys that design plans for aircraft and all kinds of really, I've met the most interesting people.
I mean, BDSM is fantasy play.
Yes, it is.
And so it's naturally going to attract people who are creative minded.
Yeah,
they have, you know, expanded consciousness. So I think that, you know, it's just natural that the type of people that you're talking about are of higher intelligence and display, you know, higher creativity. I mean, I definitely have seen a lot of really exceptionally creative people in the lifestyle. And like I said before, there's a lot of professionals that are involved in this too.
Well, you know, there's another thing I'd like to add. Of all the research and things that I have done, and I have done a lot, that doesn't make me an expert. It doesn't make me anything. It's just somebody that studied a lot. I have noticed some truths and some inaccuracies in modern psychology and how it relates to people that are into BDSM activities and lifestyle and fetish. Some things are absolutely inaccurate that you read in psychology references.
Oh, sure.
But other things are clearly right on the money. And another thing that I've noticed, too, I don't know if this is relevant to anything else, but a lot of my higher intelligent clients come to me for humiliation and degradation type session play.
Right. Put them in their place.
Exactly.
And it's most likely a opportunity for them to get out of their normal day-to-day roles,
yes,
so that they can maybe have freedom through slavery, so to speak, basically.
Yes, and I don't with I'm talking about the people in the range of way up here.
Right.
Just what only Princess Zoe has seen. It's not a lot of pain, but it is a lot of humiliation, and it's very specific. And I know that that's true in general, but it's very specific, and some of it is work-related specific things.
Interesting.
That is very interesting. So I love all my clients, and I totally love the lifestyle, and I love the things I've learned, and that is a great, great question, and we could have a whole show just on that one topic.
We certainly could.
We could.
And by the way, nurses are kinky.
Nurses are awesome, and they are kinky.
I don't know what it is about. I don't know what it is about BDSM, but nurses are kinky. I'm just telling you guys. the next time you see a nurse. I mean, it's not just the outfit. It's not just the, you know, it's something about, you know, it just attracts a certain type. They are definitely into it. There's no doubt about it.
There's a lot of nurses into it, especially the ones that do sounds. Yeah.
There certainly is. All right, let's go on to our next question here. The next question comes from a guy named JJ, and he begins and says, "You are very pretty." And then he says, "When you say, quote, play therapy, what do you mean? Sorry, I'm curious. For example, would you do play therapy with a man you were in a relationship with, or is it just for clients?"
Wow. Well, I do define what I do as a professional dominatrix as being a role play therapist and a fantasy consultant. And I'm sure this question is in reference to what I define myself as.
Right.
Absolutely, I would do role play therapy with any man I was romantically involved with in my own personal bedroom. Let's talk about that for a second, as far as what exactly is role play therapy. Well, there's children that go to role play therapy. It's very therapeutic. You can run through a scenario of something, play it out, and that particular thing or whatever is played out in actual physical, you know, presence.
It allows you to kind of disassociate your actual self.
Yes.
From the activity that you're doing.
And this is what's interesting about this particular thing. Okay, some of these are very simplistic fantasies. Is simplistic, not in just my opinion, I'm sure you'll agree too. Okay, let me give you an example. I have one client that since his teenage years, he has had this fantasy that it just will not leave him. It just bugs him all the time. He wants to be tied up with nylons, put in a closet, and watch a girl undress. Okay, well, that's not, I mean, yeah, it's kinky, but come on. You know, we've seen kinkier than that.
Right.
All right, but he doesn't have any place to go to live this out.
Right. I mean, you can't go to a girlfriend and say, "By the way, why don't you tie me up
and
I'll
watch
you undress."
Yes. You know, he's had this since he's 12. Well, his stepsisters used to tie him up with nylons, throw him in the closet, and leave it cracked and dress and stuff in there. And he would get excited. He felt guilty about being sexually excited for so many years. He suppressed that.
Those stepsisters are now professional dominators.
Those stepsisters are awesome. So he felt guilty about that, suppressed it, but it never left him. So now he comes to see me some 30 years later. We act out this fantasy two times. It gives him a chance to run through it. He enjoys it. I tie him up, put him in a closet, leave the door cracked, change clothes. We do this a couple times, and now he moves on to different fantasies, ideas, and play.
Right.
Not that that always happens or that it should, but sometimes it's just something that you just need to act out.
Right. And it's in a safe environment.
Very. And it's cool. And it's very trusting. He trusts me with this fantasy that he had, and now he's good to go.
That's good.
So,
anyway. All right. Well, that's the end of our question and answer for this time. And before I get out of this segment, I want to say, by all means, send us some questions. I mean, go to the Fetish Show site, fetishshow.com, thefetishshow.com, and you can send questions directly to me, dirk@thefetishshow.com, or you can, Princess Zoe's all over the place. You can send questions to her, but either way, just say, yeah, you're definitely all over the place. So in any case, if you want to send us questions, the easiest way is to send to dirk@thefetishshow.com, and we'll answer your questions for you.
And now, back to the Fetish Show.
Now from questions and answers, we go to an interview that I did about 2 or 3 weeks ago with my friends, Robert Henry and Dame LeBeau, who are the Toxic Goddess photographer and Toxic Goddess model. And here's that interview.
The Fetish Show, feature presentation.
He's an award-winning fine art erotic photographer, and she's a successful alternative model and fine art photographer in her own right. I'm here with Toxic Goddess photographer Robert Henry and Toxic Goddess model Dame LeBeau. Welcome to the Fetish Show.
Thank you.
Hi.
In the interest of full disclosure, I know these two. I've known Robert for nearly 20 years now.
Long time.
We work together. Dame LeBeau is one of my favorite models.
No, and you're just saying that because I'm here.
Yes, pretty much. I'm just buttering her up.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is just kind of a friendly interview. I'm going to start out with Dame LeBeau.
Ooh.
Right out of the gate.
Okay.
You and Robert met in college, and I heard the story from Robert, but I'd be interested to hear your take on how you met.
I found that photo that led me to Robert today, and it's in my bag.
Wow.
What photo is that? Tell us about it.
It's a photo of me sitting. It's a self-portrait.
Mm-hmm.
It's nude. I shot it in the mirror, and Robert didn't know it was taken in the mirror. He was looking at it going, all this technical stuff about it. And then I said, yeah, I shot it myself in a mirror. And he goes, in a mirror? And then that's kind of how we started. And I started modeling for Robert, a while ago?
Yeah, it's going on.
9 years ago.
Probably getting close to 10. But
probably
I mean,
close to 10.
Mm-hmm. 2001.
And we've just been, I guess, shooting and working together since.
Yeah, with a brief hiatus when I was in school. We lost track mm-hmm. of each other. But fortunately, her number was still the same. And then we were able to get back together and start shooting again.
And he's... Other than yourself, Mr. Hooper, he's been one of my favorite photographers to work with. So, and that was up until I started shooting. I've always been doing self-portraits, so. But I think working with Robert, I learned more about the camera and about camera angles.
Right.
And I definitely learned more about posing and modeling next to this big Indian.
Yeah.
Robert, tell us about where you graduated from college.
Okay, well, initially I went to Rose State College in Midwest City. That's, of course, where I met Dame LeBeau. And after leaving there, I went to the Savannah College of Art and Design in Savannah, Georgia. There I minored in photography, or majored in photography, minored in sequential art, and mm-hmm. Really pursued kind of a fine art basis, which I think kind of holds true with most of what I do. But giving my influences from comic books and movies and things of that nature. There's definitely a pop culture slant to a lot of what I like to do, and with dynamic imagery and trying to create more vivid colors and good contrast. And so I think it kind of is a little weird because I seem to have a foot in both camps. I seem to be trying to do stuff that's pop culture driven, but also the fine art kind of always is present as well. So,
tell us a little bit more about SCAD, because I think that's a pretty interesting university.
Well, it's a private institution, and it's cost some money, but I was able to get a good scholarship while going there. It's really nice. The main thing I love about it is that obviously it's an art school. It's you're meeting lots of people. My roommates at the time were like, there was a painting major, there was a architecture major, a video major, and then a film major. All those guys I lived with at one point while there, and it's really great because you get to cross-reference and kind of talk about different things and help each other out with your finals projects and anything that comes about. It's really kind of nice. Also, the idea that the campus is just spread out throughout the entire downtown Savannah area is fun. It's just neat. There's buildings over here, there's buildings over there, and so you really kind of get just kind of sprawled out across the entire downtown area. And it's something else. It's really nice, and it's a beautiful place, and anybody who's seen some of the movies there and everything else will
Midnight
understand
in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Forrest Gump. Yeah, they, right. They even got a big little plaque by the bench where that was filmed. It's like, this is where it was. So it's kind
of
funny.
Now, I know this is the fetish show, but I want you to drop a few names from some of the comic people that you met up there.
Oh,
by taking sequential art.
Yes. At the sequential art, I got to take a class with Tom Lyle, who did a lot of Spider-Man back in the in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And
I think he did about 6 issues a month,
It was something really insane about that.
Yeah,
he was. But now he's actually doing some work for the Chickasaw Tribe, which is kind of interesting, illustrating tales of the Chickasaw Indians.
Right.
And so that's interesting. And so he actually had been to Oklahoma. He had to fly here and go to the headquarters and get approved by them to draw the comic. So it was very interesting. Got to take a class with Mark Schultz, who of course is a god.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, it's just wow, his dry brush technique's pretty friggin' amazing.
Cadillacs and Dinosaurs did Mark Schultz did that.
Yeah, and even just, yeah, it's just really great. The other, some other guys got to meet, his name escaped me, did it to me, George Pratt. He honestly, whenever I took his class, it caused me to rethink how to draw a lot. And I started experimenting with watercolor washes and charcoal at the same time and doing lots of really stuff that just really was intriguing to me. And I just saw drawing in a whole new light because he was very direct in his approach. It was not draw all the shapes. It's like, there it is in front of you. Draw it, you know, don't pick your pencil up. You got three lines, you know, and so you'd have to really just do it. And it just caused me to see things in a whole new light. So it was really, really amazing. And other than that, Jason Alexander, got to take a class with him, which was kind of nice, or a workshop, I guess. And Brian Stelfreeze, he's a funny man. He's really funny. Yes,
he's one of my all-time favorites. Actually, yeah. Brian Stelfreeze.
Yeah. So those are the main ones that I would say. As far as guys I actually got to take classes with and everything else, got to meet a lot of editors and some things of that nature. I was really trying to live in two camps. Going back to that, where I'd go to do the comic book stuff and then life drawing and stuff, and then I would also head on out to and do all the photography stuff as well. So it was quite the adventure and a great place to learn and meet new people and stuff. It was really something else.
To both of you, what is Toxic Goddess?
Wow. That's a hard one. I think Toxic Goddess to me has changed since when I first got started. When I first got started with Toxic Goddess as a model, it was just more of a way of breaking out of... First, Robert kept trying to get me to do it for such a long time, and I kept saying, no, 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 I don't want myself out there.
He kept talking about this girl he's trying to get he went to school with and stuff.
Yeah, and I didn't want to be out there on the internet. I was okay as far as the galleries were concerned, but I went through a little something in my life that I wanted to go ahead and put behind me, and it seemed since Robert was still around and he was still very interested, I just kind of jumped into it more, I guess, like a rebellion stage. And then since, you know, I've gotten over the rebellion stage of it, it's become more of an expression and more of an art form. And I think it's still growing. So I don't know where it's at right now, but it's definitely taken a new shape for me. I'm a big supporter.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're more than a supporter. I mean, you know, obviously you're one of our best models, but you're also one of our best networkers and one of our best proponents. And
trying to network on Twitter right now, but everyone's quiet.
Yeah, I know. We've asked Twitter to give us an interview question, and they've gone silent on her for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. It's this pressure, I guess, of being on the internet. Anyway.
Robert, how would you define... Toxic Goddess?
I would probably say that in many ways, it's about, in some ways, it's a playground. It's a way to experiment with ideas and work with concepts and work with models that you're used to working with on a regular basis, ones that you find interesting. Obviously, that's why they become Toxic Goddesses, because they're interested in the process. They're interested in what we're doing. And like, I may watch something and I may go, wow, that's just really, really cool. I'd like to do something like that. And then it gets my brain churning and I start thinking about different things. And lo and behold, I suddenly am very, I'll call one of the girls and be like, what do you think about this? You know, and if they like the idea, it goes forth from there. But even more so, I think probably one of the most rewarding elements of it is that it is a collaboration. And in that, it, you know, one person brings an idea and then everybody kind of gets together and then it tinkers a little bit and it becomes something different than what you initially envisioned. But 99% of the time, it's a better experience and it's a better product in the finished result because of what everybody's brought to the table.
Right.
And that's incredibly rewarding. Because it is, so in many ways it's like a shared artist thing, but because we're all kind of on the same page a little bit, it kind of becomes more of that. And so I would say initially, on one hand, it's a playground to create and to continue to do interesting things, but it also takes another level in that it feeds, you know, and it feeds you creatively. And so also on a personal level, it makes me very, very happy as well. And it is something that continues to grow. You know, you and I joke a lot of times about how we're like on version 2.0 or version 3.0.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, and it moves and it grows and you find things that change. And And that's probably one of the most exciting parts about it, is that it does change and it does continue to alter itself like any good piece of art does.
And as a model, it's when you guys are changing, I'm changing as well. I can't really speak for the other girls, but I know I feel you often come with ideas at me or what you're planning on doing, and I'm definitely always supportive of it. But I would say as far as shoots and collaborations, about 50% of Robert's and mine shoot are either like from the hip, or we came in there with absolutely no ideas at all.
Right.
And then we just kind of went with it with whatever I brought with me in my model bag.
Yeah. And, so. and that's what's, and in some ways, I mean, there's nothing quite.
There's a certain gonzo element, I think, to what we do.
Big time exactly. Gonzo yeah. Element.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of, yeah. And that's, and I think that that is incredibly rewarding also, because it's just fun and it's like, wow, you know, and so that keeps it interesting, not only creatively, but it also just makes you go, wow, I've had a really crappy week, but a good shoot on a Saturday or Sunday and suddenly everything's right as rain.
So. Yeah. I think just if I think if you plan too much, as most people do, it just loses its magic.
Yeah.
It's gone, and you're seeing a girl that's posing for the camera as opposed to a girl that's so excited to be in front of the camera,
right.
And they're having fun. So I don't know.
Yeah. I think yeah,
my
I agree.
Opinion.
Mm-hmm. People say the shoots are a lot of fun. I mean, we keep hearing that.
Yeah.
Which is good. That's what we want.
That's a good feedback.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Robert, how would you say that Toxic Goddess has shaped your evolution as a photographer?
Well, it's definitely allowed me to shoot a lot. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Is, we do shoot a lot.
Yes. And I talk to people that I went to SCAD with, people I graduated with and who are also in the field and stuff like that. And a lot of them are just amazed at the volume of work that I continue to shoot. I shoot more stuff. I've shot more stuff now than I ever shot the entire time I was in taking classes, which is kind of rare. I think some people, you know.
That's the most they ever shoot is when they're having to work on an assignment.
Yeah, and when they're in school and everything else, they feel like they have to do this. And it's not the case here. It's mm-hmm. It's me. I'm just shooting more and more and wearing cameras out and wearing out light kits. And
you just wore
you're
your,
kind of the camera
you're
destroyer.
Having to get a new lens, aren't you, because you wore the lens out.
Yeah, and then, well, yeah, and I'm also going to have to replace the camera body here real soon. It looks like it's going out, so.
Send in your donations now.
Yeah,
but more naked photos.
Yes. That's right. Hey. You want to see the naked photos? I need a new camera. but, yeah, I think that it's, it does that, but it also, man, on the larger scale of pictures, it's taking me places where I don't even know that I'm for sure where I'm going. It's going to be because you're constantly being influenced, but also when we bring in a new model and a new Toxic Goddess, she kind of is, it takes you in places, different places where you expect to go, which is because we're always looking for girls that are different and are unique in their own ways. We don't want cookie cutter. We don't want like all little goth girls, you know, so it becomes something else. And what I shoot with Dame LeBeau is much more different than what I'm going to shoot with Ocean
right.
or Eclipse. And sometimes there's some good mending, you know, the two Dame LeBeau and Ocean work together and mm-hmm. for an upcoming set. And it was a really cool set. And that entire set was just inspired by kind of one just loose idea, but it grew to become something else. And it came out differently than what I expected, but it was still very, very rewarding shoot. So.
And now back to the Fetish Show.
All right. If you enjoyed that interview, then you can hear the entire interview on ToxicGoddess.com. That was just a little snippet of that interview. And so basically we have wrapped up our first episode of The Fetish Show. What do you think, Zoe?
Well, I think it's a historical, monumental, and notable event, and I am so proud to be here. This is awesome.
It's definitely all of those things. We've mentioned several events and several different groups of people. And by the way, I also want to mention that earlier we talked about the steampunk group.
Yes.
That was Carnival Epsilon.
Oh, that's right. I forgot their name.
Who was the
yes.
models that, yes. that we did for that thing.
And
we
there's,
make sure
there's
we get
like
that
a
right.
circus sideshow group of people. That, very interesting and
yeah,
cool
they do.
Group.
They glass
swords
and do,
and
yeah, it's pretty crazy
awesome
stuff.
Awesome stuff.
And we're actually looking forward to seeing them pretty soon. And hopefully we can talk to them sometime.
They're going to be in my 4th of July weekend jam. My band is playing down there, and they're coming down to do their show down there in between bands playing.
Where's that at?
That's at Lake Eufaula over 4th of July weekend. You can find it on my website at www.arcammusic.com, in the event section.
It's archaeamusic.com.
Yes, it is.
We will add that to the fetishshow.com site.
And you can also see the Circus Sideshow Act down there as well.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah.
That works out well. Well, what I want to say is basically all of the different links and events and stuff that we talked about today, we're going to get those up on the website. So if you want to know how to get on the internet and or find out more information about the events and the people that we talked about today, those will be cataloged along with this episode. And you can find all of that at thefetishshow.com. I also want to say that if you want to know more about Princess Zoe, you can find her at theprincesszoe.com. If you want to know more about me, I have a blog and a lot of information, plus a bunch of saucy pictures on dirkhooper.com. That's DirkHooper, not Hopper or whatever. It's not Cooper. It's not Hopper. It's Hooper. It's Hooper. And finally, if you've got some ideas for the show, if you've got some products that you want us to take a look at, if you've got some events that you want to promote or maybe even invite us out to so that we can do a live broadcast, if you are the type of person that you think would make an interesting guest for the show, then by all means, email me, D-I-R-K, Dirk, at thefetishshow.com, and... is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I would like to add a couple things. One is about the ideas for things for the show. Some of my ideas would be cool stripper stories, porn actresses, other fetish models, just anything interesting that has to do with fetish, with the community, with erotica. We want to hear from you, so just bounce it off of us. If you've got something interesting to tell, let us know about it. And we're starting to get a lot of emails and a lot of interest into what we're doing with the fetish show, so I think this is going to be pretty big, and I think that this is going to really take off. So get your ideas and stuff in now. And if you've got something cool going on and you want people to know about it, and you want to get the word out, this is the place to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, this show is kind of what you make of it. So if you want to get involved and you want to help us shape what we're doing here, then by all means, get in touch with us, because we really want to hear from you.
That's right.
So for Princess Zoe, this is Dirk Hooper.
That's a wrap.
Until next time, dream hard.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. We're always looking for interviews with models, artists, and BDSM lifestyle leaders, as well as information about events and products. For more information, check out thefetishshow.com. Contact Dirk Hooper directly by emailing Dirk@thefetishshow.com.